All right. Welcome to the Toddcast, episode 128. We are here with a special guest tonight, Mr. Marvin Nguyen of The Edge. Welcome, sir.
How's it going? It's another beautiful and snowy day in Pittsburgh.
Right? Like, what happened? It was like 60, 60, 70, 80 yesterday.
Yeah.
40 today.
What happened is it's Western Pennsylvania. That's what happened.
Yeah. Somebody's messing with the snow globe again. Probably Cobra with their weather dominator.
Right.
The mayor didn't pay off his Cobra fees.
Yeah, probably. That's very possible. somewhere Dr. Mindbender is laughing. It's gonna be great. So anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. We are now on YouTube. The Facebook is not working, which is fine. So anyway, this Saturday coming up, we got Mills anniversary sale. So come out and get your last minute Easter shopping done. It's going to be a good time. 10% off a bunch of stuff. Go check out their Facebook or our website, ndcomics.com, to check that out. While you're there, check out threeriverscomiccon.com and check out the baby version that we're going to be doing, which Marvin's going to be at, which is going to be great.
Which I have a question from somebody that asked, are we going to do pre-orders? And I let them know that it's free if you show up at 12, but they want to know if they can buy a ticket ahead of time if they wanted to come early.
That is still being discussed on how we're going to do that.
Okay.
So I haven't figured out those yet. I still have some time. I'll do that announcement a little later.
So stay tuned, everybody.
Stay tuned indeed. After that, I don't really know if we have anything else going on until what would be regular Free Comic Book Day weekend, but I have something cool planned because that's the kind of guy I am, and more on that next week. Once I get more details down, it will be exciting. I promise all of you. So anyway, all right. So let's talk about Marvin a little bit, and then we're going to go into comics. We're changing it up a little bit today, and then we'll talk about pop culture at the end. So, Marvin, this is what we call the origin story. So it's kind of like your time to talk about what you do, how you got into the business, what drives you in the business, whatever you want to talk about for a few minutes, and we'll just kind of pitch in as we go.
You can mention John's coif, which is looking gorgeous, I might add.
You have no idea.
He's rocking the anime here. So let's just start at the beginning. Is that I started reading comics in the 80s. My first comic was purchased by my grandmother at the Giant Eagle, Captain America. I don't remember exactly which issue it was, but I mean, that probably really doesn't matter that much in the long run. I know it was 65 cent. I know that. I know it cost 65 cent. So it was a long time ago. So from there, I got kind of hooked on that, and then watching G.I. Joe and then getting the G.I. Joe comics, and then just transitioned from there into Avengers and X-Men. And most of my comics were bought from spinner racks in grocery stores or in convenience stores, things like that. Back then, I didn't even know that comic book stores existed. It wasn't a thing for me at all.
Right.
So when I discovered comic shops, and it was a whole new world of things. So then you get into the back issues and getting back into my Robotech from Kamiko and things like that. So then I got fully into X-Men and Avengers, and this was getting into the 90s. And then when Image happened, that was the light that came on, where because you figured that, Marvel and DC are the biggest things out there, and they can't survive on their own. That doesn't work. And then these guys went out and they did it and they made it work. So I started writing 93-ish, 94, and I always admit that it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all. It was pretty terrible.
As you are when you start out.
Yeah. So it was way too influenced by those things that I was reading. So then I took some writing classes, some marketing classes, took a break from comics, and then got back into writing probably around 2005. Mm-hmm. So I wrote a few scripts, let people read them, and they thought it was good. So, I accepted that they thought it was good, so it must be good. So then I met the artist, Mark Louis, in 2012, and then it was off and running from there. So on the 24th, we finally got issue one in the stores after it was delayed twice by Diamond from March 3rd to March 17th. So things have been pretty good so far. I've been running around, checking on the book, talking to people, seeing what people think, and like I'll do you one better.
Do the newer cover. There's the new cover. The new cover.
Yeah. So it's been a whirlwind, I'll say. And Mark is complaining right now because he doesn't have anything to work on at the moment. So I'm feeding him covers. Mm-hmm. And he's looking for scripts. And I'm like, oh man, I got to get my creator hat back on. So I got to switch back from promoter mode to creator mode. And it's a little hard. It's taking me a couple of days to get back into creator mode. But I mean, I'm getting back into that mode just before now I have to start promoting issue number two.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So we should be in the next previews for issue two. And then after that, going bi-monthly. But I mean, it's been, like I said, it's been fun. It's been a whirlwind, and we've just been digging in and talking to stores. I think I contacted 1,500 stores around the world.
Wow.
And with issue two, I'm hitting the gamut. I'm going to try to hit everyone that speaks English. I might even try to get to someone that don't speak English and just try it out and see what happens. Like, because I've seen like some stores in like China and Africa that do carry English speaking comics, even though they're not typically English speaking countries, but they still pick up the books. But we're thinking about translating and doing things like that. But we don't want to. We want to make sure that we get someone who is a native to that language to do the translation, so you don't get those words that don't translate properly, and it might be a slur or something in another country. we don't want that, those kind of situations popping up. Because I know, I'm pretty sure in the past it's happened where somebody's like, "That's a bad word here. We hate this book."
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that happened when some manga got translated into English.
Yeah.
A couple times.
Right. So we don't want that. We don't want to get anybody's bad side. We don't want to get canceled.
Yeah. Don't do that. So,
well, congrats on the book.
Thank you.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man.
And if anybody sees me looking to the side, I'm managing the comments.
Yeah, Tim's not just like randomly looking at his dog. He is looking. So, if I look up, I'm looking at comments as well.
So if you need a wrench, you should talk to old Herrenberg. He loves doing that kind of stuff. He's like wrenching for like 30 different YouTube channels right now.
I'm pretty sure Manny's on here right now because
yep.
Definitely. He said, "Hail to the NDC chat." Hi, Tim, John, and Marvin. So, hello.
So, I mean, and continue on. So basically, what the edge is it starts off, it's a drug that gives abilities, but when you using those powers, you start to get drained, and eventually it's going to kill you off. Our lead villain is Revenant, or maybe not. He's not the villain. Maybe he is or he isn't. He escapes from his handler Tartable into the world with the secrets of the edge, but he's kind of a jerk. So he's not really going to give that information freely to anyone. He's going to try to sell it or trade it for something. So he's got a mad on for Tartable. So he's coming after him. And Tartable forms a strike team to get in the way. The problem is that these guys have these abilities. They have absolutely no control over them. We have situations where the powers will turn off while they're in a fight. We have one scene later in an issue where one of the characters is hovering above the ground, and she starts losing her concentration and starts making rocks and crabs and other things hover. And then her power is cut off and she just falls into the water.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, there's a lot of mixture of these powers not being a muscle memory. So they can't really learn them. And it's just, most of the time, it's just a reflex. Like you're in trouble and the powers come on. You're not in trouble, the powers go off. And it's just a game of cat and mouse with these abilities that they have to use, and don't know what it's doing to their body, and it's starting to damage them.
Nice.
Fear of mine.
Yeah.
I have that dream. I have two recurring dreams: running slow while something's chasing me,
mm-hmm.
and then flying, but then losing my powers and falling.
Yes.
Right. I will say I read the book. I reread it because I bought it when it was just an indie book, like when it, before you could get it through Diamond.
Yes.
Like, And my copy is one of those older ones, which is awesome. And like I thought your writing was really solid, dude. I really did. It reminded me of old Wildcats.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the art was cool. Some of the characters, Revenant, the bad guy, kind of he like to me he feels like this weird vibe of like Grifter meets like a really pissed off Dick Grayson.
Yeah. Right. That's a good analogy on that, because he's that escape artist. He's that guy you can't ever stamp him down.
Yeah.
And that's the good thing about him, is that, and that's why they he's like the one man mission. So he's the guy that they would drop behind enemy lines and say, do your thing. And then they could disavow any knowledge of that he did anything. Oh, no, we don't know that guy. Who do you, you're like, kill him. We don't care.
Yeah, the like that, the very, very cloak and daggery vibe.
Mm-hmm.
for that character, for sure. Other than that, like, there's some really cool scenes, and the way it was written, like, I guess my question is, like, the way you wrote it, because these aren't, like, traditional blocked out chunks of page, mm-hmm. right? Like, for those of you who want to see it. So it's not, like, just four squares or four, yeah. you know, whatever. It's like, I guess my question is, did you plan it like that, or did the artist, Mark kind of...
That's all on Mark.
Okay.
He's that guy that I can give him like the most basic description of something. I put like, all right, this character is standing somewhere, and he just comes up with this amazing visage of what it, like. It's like we're like he's reading my mind, like he's pulling things from my brain that I don't even know that I have in my brain and I'm thinking. And I don't think it's in that one, but in the new issue, since the new issue has been redrawn.
Okay.
There's the one scene where they're in the building and Interim is using her powers, and she's because her ability is that she can open portals that give her a few seconds ahead in time, but she can also can step through them.
Mm-hmm.
But and as she's hitting the bad guys, the panels are moving in the direction that she's hitting them.
Mm-hmm.
So the panels are sliding out of the way. So she's punching down, the panel moves down. She's punching up, the panel's moving up. So it's just something cool that he just did because it looks cool. Like we do, there's a lot of, we break the rules a lot in this book with panel breaks and some of the things that I've seen in comics, not recently, but in the past and recently also, is jumping panels across pages. It doesn't flow at all. I think it was in one of the new DC Future State books with Guardian, where it's a two page spread, but it has panels broken and it's jumping from one page to the other. So it's going left to right and then back to the left again, like in a Z shape. And it just doesn't flow at all. I'm like, how are you supposed to read this? It doesn't guide you to where it's supposed to go. So it just looks strange.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I did read that book and it was very weird.
So
do you think that's more of a challenge on you writing or on the artist to try and make that flow, or is it kind of a team effort to make that work? Or like you were saying that, you know, you kind of just give him just basic direction and he runs with it. But
so I mean it comes down to a team effort, because you not only do you have to
I put up the cover
to the artist what's going on, but also the colorist has to bring their piece to it, and also the letterer. So you have to be able to mesh all those things together. You have to make sure that the panel has enough room for the letters, and you have to let the artist, the colorist, know what needs to be emphasis on that page, because you don't want the whole entire page colored the same.
Yeah.
So there's a lot in the book. There's a lot of Luis is the colorist. He does a lot of warm and cold. So it's on some scenes it's like warm colors, and then when you go like to a watery scene, it's cold colors. So there's a lot of nuance going on there with the whole team on how this thing has to work. Because if everyone's not on the same page, then it just looks terrible. It doesn't work at all. Like you look at something like this where you have that beam of light traveling across three different panels. This would be a cover, a three page cover,
mm-hmm.
and everything has to flow across the page where you're leading the eye to.
Right.
Yeah. So this,
Yeah, this is some killer freaking art, man. Like,
yeah, the artwork and the coloring just really well, and they complement each other very well.
Even throughout the book, like, even the original version, it's got this cool, like, 90s image vibe in art, but it also has, like, a dash of anime vibe to it, which I do like, and I think it works really well for the characters.
Yes.
So...
Right. I mean, we're trying to do as much as we can to like get that, make it familiar to people, and then make it very, and make it strange to people too. Because like we've got this character who can open these portals, but later on we have to deal with a situation where she's been opening these portals since she was six. So these portals are start affecting the flow of time. Mm-hmm. So the more she leaves open, the more the time starts to distort. So where she's from, it's 24 hours ahead in time. So you're walking along and all of a sudden it's dark. And the way we do it is that it's a door. So it's open on both sides. So if something else could come through that she's unaware of.
Right. No, that's awesome. I'm very intrigued to reread some more, because I think I read the first two, but I'm curious to check out the new art on it. And some of our stores did get it. I know the Pittsburgh Mills definitely did. But then I also hear that there may be some new covers coming, Marvin, if you want to talk about that at all.
Yeah. So right now we are working with four stores in the city, including the Dimension, to do a Pittsburgh special cover for
you. You can totally say their names too. We're good. We're pretty good with everybody. We support all local shops. We want people to shop local, period.
So. Right. So we've got Geekadrome. We've got Phantom of the Attic.
Which Phantom of the Attic?
Oakland.
Okay.
Geekadrome in Bloomfield. And we've got Heroes Inc. and Robinson.
Cool. And then us, obviously. So.
Yeah. Cool. So those four stores we're going to align the stores like Voltron and get this special cover done. So right now I'm sourcing out artists, and I'm really trying to get somebody from Pittsburgh to do it.
Okay.
Because I want to have that Pittsburgh background on it. I want someone who's familiar with looking at that to do the cover.
That's awesome. Well, we may be able to help you out at some point. We'll see what we can do.
Okay.
Since you're a Three Rivers alumni. You've met some Pittsburgh artists, and
yes.
I can probably help you if you need to. So.
Yeah, I have one person in mind, but we could hold auditions if
that'd be kind of cool.
yeah, we can hold auditions, and then we pick the best one, and then
would you make them all like live? Would you make them all like live sketch it?
Oh, that's like, I mean, we could do it on the show if you want.
You could do like a Ink Master.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be awesome.
That actually would be pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, let's set that. Let's do that. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
That'd be really good.
Let's see if we can line that up. That'd be awesome. Awesome. So the book is what, $4.99, right?
$3.99.
$3.99?
Yeah.
$3.99. Available at a lot of the local stores in Pittsburgh. Go check it out. Support Marvin. He's a great dude. His books are great. I've really enjoyed them over the years. And he's always been a great guy. And you can catch him at Three Rivers Comic Con this year. Come up, say hi, get your book signed. Don't forget to do that, because it is awesome. And, you know, always support local.
Oh, thank you.
Eric, we don't charge for signatures.
What's that?
And we don't charge for signatures.
Boom, there you go. Free signatures. Send that bitch to CGC and get it graded. Do you like own any copies that are graded just to have them? Like, did you sign your own book and like get
it graded? I'm going to do it. You mentioned it, and I've been thinking about it, and it popped up on my feed that some store was doing it. I'm like, yeah, I might as well.
Well, here's my thing. I don't know if you can get it. If you can authenticate your own signature, if you're the one sending it in without being witnessed. So, I mean, I know that sounds really stupid, but now I'm really curious is if an artist is like, you know what? I just want to do this for myself.
Yes.
Signs their own book and mails it in. If they're going to slap a label on it that just says like someone's signature, not actually not verified or whatever.
Well, we're going to find out, because I'm going to do it.
Why you want a friend? Just bring a friend with you.
Yeah. There you go. There you go.
I'll bring Heron Berg along, and then he can do this.
Well, awesome. If you are interested in the book, come into the store, like at the Waterfront or any of the other NDC stores, and let us know, and we'll get you signed up for it. So,
and if we don't have any copies on the shelf, we can order them. So it takes like 2 weeks ish to get them in. So
I mean, that'll give them time to build up to issue two. So around time that issue one comes in, they should go ahead and say, we want issue two already, even though it's not in previews yet. Just say, yeah, get issue two, three, four. So just to say that we're rolling along is that we're right now finishing up issue 14.
Wow. That's awesome. So we got like a year and a half already in the can. Yes. This is awesome. Is there an annual in there somewhere? Or
we're calling it gap books. So it's going to be stories that take place in between the gaps in the arcs. So between 4 and 5, 9 and 10, and et cetera, there's going to be books in between there.
That's awesome.
The first one is called Adrenaline Rush, and that's going to be actually set in Pittsburgh.
Nice.
It's going to feature some characters from Harrenburg. Then between 9 and 10, we're going to do one called Angel Wing, where this one is about a general who is told that there are WMDs in Dubai, but they're not weapons, they're people. So they're people who are in the last stages of the edge, and their powers are out of control. So they're going to try to get in there, and he wants to help, but of course, along the way, there's going to be a little bit of trouble. He's going to get his former paramilitary team. They're all former injured soldiers that have cybernetic implants, so they're tied, like they're leashed to the government, so now they have to get that leash off of them so they can go and help him take care of this last job.
That's awesome. The more you talk about the later stories, the more I'm really interested in reading the rest of this book.
We got a lot of stuff going, and like I always say Harrenburg always says, like, the book is completely about escalation. Everything just keeps escalating, and it never ends.
That's fair.
Yeah. I have some incentive for people too to get the book. Last week, when we had Declan on, Ron was the first person to subscribe to his book Time After Time. So I am sending this to Ron, which is a autographed picture of, I believe it's Candace Patton.
Yep. How did you get that?
Listen, I have sources, okay? So this is an autographed picture. This is for Ron because he was the first person to sign up for a book from one of our guests. So, you know, don't wait. Sign up for Marvin's book also. And who knows, there might be something in the future for that person also. So
we always have some incentive.
We always got something to give away.
We got some stuff to give away. We got keychains, we got stickers, we got sweet little mini statue figures. We got all kind of stuff with the edge on it, man.
All right, so here's the deal. So it'll make this easy, right? So it's going to be the first person to sign up as a full sub for the Edge at the Waterfront store only.
Okay.
Because that'll be easier than trying to get it, be like, coordinate with all six stores as which guy got it where. That they will get some kind of fun prize from Marvin, and it'll be cool. We'll figure out when we can get that dropped off.
I'll come over and cook dinner.
There. Room. Boom. There you go. In the snow.
It's gonna
be
up.
Grilling in the snow. It's gonna be great. So.
No, there won't be any gift cards involved. I'll come over and I'll stir that pot.
Nice. As long as they own a pot to stir. That's the thing you got to remember.
Well, I'll have to bring pots.
you're just going to show up with a food truck in front of somebody's
house. There you go. That's right. Bring a food truck outside. Like, come on out. You got your free bill. Come get it.
It's the Edge food truck. Just
That'll work. That'll do it. The Edgemobile is rolling around.
Actually, I'm thinking, like, do any of the heroes have a name that's good enough to call it that? I mean, you could call it the spinoff.
Yeah,
that'd be kind of fun. The spinoff food truck. The interim food truck would also be fine. Mystic food truck. I mean, the Mystic food truck. Why? Yes. Why not?
It's mystical. There's mystical things going on inside that truck. We don't want to tell you what it is, but it doesn't have anything to do with free candy or puppies.
It's a microwave. Everything's microwaved.
It doesn't have it doesn't have drugs in it to give me superpowers, does it?
No, it's got it doesn't have heroin in it.
Right. So, all right. Because Marvin is a super awesome dude to just kind of bullshit with while we do stuff, he has agreed to sit through a bunch of our other stuff and kind of give us help, commentary, and discussion. But do check out his book. If anyone has any questions, throw it in the live chat. We'll try to answer it as much as we can. But you can sub it at any of the NDC locations. Right now, though, if you're using your Comic Hub app, you're only going to be able to see issue 1 until issue 2 gets into the system from Diamond. You won't be able to add it as an ongoing thing. But with issue 1 in there, you can at least get that on board and make sure you can order that. And we can special order it for anybody. So make sure you do that. All right. Let's talk new releases.
Do it.
I'm so excited. All right. My first book. Batman Ooh. Catwoman issue 4. First off, I love this cover. It's freaking awesome.
I like that cover a lot. I like the Jim Lee cover just a little bit more. But
yeah.
They're really gorgeous. The colors on this one are great.
Yeah, I can see that. There's some just amazing art from Clay Mann in this book. The story keeps hopping around. If you're familiar with this book, you know there's it's obviously Batman and Catwoman, and then their daughter, who is the Batman that you see there. Or Batwoman, I guess you see there. They call it her something in here. The really old ass penguin says it. There's stories where they're all old and Catwoman's old and Bruce is dead, and then there's stories of when they're younger and the phantasms in it. I really enjoy this book. I'm not a huge Tom King guy, but I like it when he has parts, like when he has a limited series he has to do, because it makes it like he puts everything he can into those issues. So this is a 12 parter. And the fun part is at the very beginning, as soon as you open it up, each one is titled after a Christmas song.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really cool. So this one is Hark the Herald Angels Sing.
Oh, and it's in that style of like, you know,
like an advent calendar.
Like an advent calendar, yeah. So, which is really cool.
But there's some like great scenes, like there's Phantasm.
That was such an awesome.
Oh, I know. Let's see, other one that I thought was, there's some really, really good, like I love the use of negative space on this side.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how half of her is missing and the rest of it's actually the staircase down to the Batcave, or not the Batcave, or is it the Phantasm Cave? But there's a really cool, trying to find the one page, it had a really cool like the new Batwoman in it. But I really enjoyed it. I actually caught up on the issue before, here it is. So like that's like, just look at that. And then like the other page with Selena just being in a dress, ready to roll. They're going to dinner. I thought it was awesome. But check it out. It's a Black Label book, Batman Catwoman. We are 1/3 of the way through that series.
That costume with the little thing, it kind of reminds me of like the Nightfall Batman when they changed the costume. Kind of reminds me of that.
I like it much better than the like the try to be Huntress idea that they were kind of going for at one point with a different version of that, because her name is Helena.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of interesting. So all right, so your book,
The Flash. Is
Flash. All right, hold on, let me prep that up here.
I just ran out of the room and back already. Flash,
it's 768, right?
768, I think. Yeah.
That one?
Yep.
All right, I got it.
So this book was great. I was worried because I had read a preview before it came out that Wally was going to retire. And I'm like, oh, so you guys can't write Wally. So what's the best way to do it? Let's just take him off the map. But it's more of a Wally story than anything. It starts out with that, you know, Wally's going to retire. He said, you know what, I've been through some things and now I've got my kids back. And if you don't know the whole story behind that, check out the flash forward story because it was excellent. You know, he's like, I got my kids back. I got my wife. He's like, I don't want to lose anything. And to make sure that I'm not tempted to use this, Barry, I want you to steal the Speed Force from me. Similar to the, you know, that he's done with Zoom and other guys. So, you know, Barry's like, I don't know about this. And they're talking. He said, okay, fine. If this is what you want, I'm going to help you out. And they burst off. They're trying to hit, you know, maximum speed. There's a Speed Force cloud and it kind of just knocks Barry out and Wally's missing. And Barry's like, well, I got to go back in the Speed Force and find him. And Barry doesn't have his powers. He has no speed whatsoever. And he confers with some other people from the Justice League and they find out that all the other speedsters have lost their power. And which cuts to Wally, who is in prehistoric times. And some really cool stuff in that. He's in prehistoric times, and what they're trying to say is that there's something wrong with the Speed Force, but because Wally has the strongest connection, the Speed Force chose him to try and repair it. And there's these little bursts of Speed Force activity that are doing things. For example, there is a Velociraptor that gets the Speed Force and he is running from a Velociraptor that can also run as fast as him.
Wait. Yeah. So if a normal Velociraptor can run faster than a human.
Yes.
And they're both infused with the Speed Force.
Yes.
Wouldn't the Velociraptor run faster?
Well, it depends on how much Speed Force, because isn't that a thing that they've said in the past?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
If you control more of the Speed Force, then you're stronger or faster. Right.
Okay, I was just I had the question. I could not.
I mean, they didn't explain it, but that would be my guess, would be if he doesn't have all of it. So,
Okay.
It's a really cool chase scene of him, and he's talking through the Speed Force to Barry using Mr. Terrific's, you know, his little Terrific orbs. They were able to project into the Speed Force. So he's trying to communicate while also running away from this Velociraptor that's fast as, you know.
Clever girl.
Very fast, clever girl. And then he goes, there's a really awesome scene where Wally goes, okay, I just have to try this. And he runs up a brontosaurus and slides down its tail and says, yabba dabba doo. And I had to put the book down for 5 minutes. I was like,
did you close the book after that?
I stopped. I was like, I need a second. That was awesome. Carl made a good point. He said, would it be a Velocity Raptor? So. But anyways, you know, there's a chase going on and he's talking with Barry and they're trying to figure out how to get the Speed Force fixed while also getting him back to their time. And there's a few things and some twists that happen, which are really cool that I won't get into, but pick up the book and check it out because it was really fun. So it was a really good issue. I was bummed at first because everybody's like, oh, Wally retires. And I'm like, man, my Wally can't get like any love at all. And it looks like it's going to be a Wally story. So
I think they're trying to focus back on Bart as the other one because they're bringing him onto the TV show.
Yeah.
So that's a possibility.
I did just see that casting too. I forgot about
yeah,
that.
Yeah. I thought it was a good casting. So
yeah. So,
all right.
Yeah, definitely check that out. I feel like DC, Infinite Frontier, they're really hitting it. They're nailing these books right now for me. So
I have a couple books that I will catch up on my 10-inch pile of waiting that I will I will probably agree with you on, since I'm I have some time now to catch up on things. So, all right, my second book, Witch Blood number one, from Vaults. This book is freaking ridiculous. It's a witch that has a pet crow or familiar called Boo, B-H-U. At first, I was like, is his name Bruh? Like, like, how awesome would that be? Like a little crow named Bruh. So she rides her motorcycle into a town and gets run off the road. Later, you find out that it's by a witch hunter. And then she kind of has a cool little run-in with the witch hunter. The witch hunter then pulls a sword on her in the middle of a diner. They have a cool little fight. They go outside, and a gang of vampires show up. Biker vampires, mind you, biker vampires. And they can smell her witch blood for miles, because apparently witch's blood is very, very tasty.
Mm.
And has strong pheromone
and for human
for vampires to come and do. But the bad guy vampire, who has an awesomely like, look at that jacket.
That is just pretty.
It's so good. Yeah. Like, he has some kind of crazy witch script that he needs to read, and they kind of have a little bit of a throwdown, and it kind of ends at a cool little cliffhanger that I'm not going to go into, but I loved it. I love the art in this book.
Colors gorgeous.
Yeah, it really reminds me of like Jen Bartel, mm-hmm. Or whoever the person was that colored Scott Pilgrim or Snot Girl.
It looks like a cartoony Marco Andolfo kind of.
Yeah. Like it's way more. It really reminds me of like Scott Pilgrim and Snot Girl in the style of art.
Yeah.
Also, I got this really awesome variant.
Yeah.
The Dazzler variant, which I love.
It's awesome.
So, yeah, go check that out. It's a good time. Let's see. We just got one more, right, Tim? Beta Ray Bill. Didn't get to read it, but I did.
Which one?
Beta Ray Bill. Did you read it?
Oh yeah. Yeah, that's like our common one.
So Beta Ray Bill is our middle one. Since you can talk about this first, since you only fully this is like your second book. So go ahead.
Yeah. No, I'm just gonna point out that this is, if you're a Marvel fan, this is where the stuff that happened at DC with the firings and the stuff where they kind of cut everything back is paying off for Marvel fans, because when Daniel Warren Johnson was at DC, I'm like, oh man, I would love to see him on a Marvel book. I don't know what book, but I'd love to see him on there. And then Dead Earth hit for DC and it was gorgeous. And then, you know, he left and he came to Marvel, and I'm like, oh, what book's he going to do? Beta Ray Bill. And I'm like, ugh, it couldn't be any more perfect. So this was kind of like, they're saying it's a King in Black tie-in, but I think it's just the first issue is kind of a, because it references King in Black, but I don't think, with King in Black ending next week, I can't see all five issues being tied in.
I think it was just the Foom part was the only tie-in, because it doesn't have like the King in Black moniker.
Yeah. And if you want sold on this book, Symbiote Null Fing Fang Foom. There you go. Go buy the book now. That's all you need to know. So,
what's the axe? He's holding.
So, Stormbreaker has been destroyed by Thor.
By Donny Cates.
Yep. Right. And Beta Ray Bill's stuck in full Bill form. Like, he can't go back into like the humanoid form, which is a really awkward situation when it comes to him dating Sif. You can read about it in this book, which I was like, whoa, that's kind of racy there for Marvel, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Thor shows up and they're talking, and he's basically talking about how he's given him every single weapon in Asgard, except Stormbreaker, because Stormbreaker doesn't exist. but because he can't use Stormbreaker, he feels that he's not as heroic as he used to be. So he can't beat Foom. Thor does. Everybody, and then Thor just takes all the credit, and everybody's like, oh, Thor is the best, blah, blah, blah. And then he just kind of, like, all these little things happen where he's just like, man, I really need my Stormbreaker back. I really need to find Odin. My only friend is my ship Scuttlebutt, which I still love the name. Mm-hmm. But you actually get to see a little cool background story of, like, him meeting Scuttlebutt for the first time, which was also cool. And it really sets this tone of, like, a hero who's trying to find that missing piece of himself and or his missing weapon. So he's off to find Odin or someone like Odin that can give him another weapon to do that thing and will allow him to really be the hero that he wants to be. If I had to guess, though, he's never going to find it, and he's just going to realize that he is the hero that he wants to be, but I don't know. I'm on board for this story because I love Beta Ray Bills.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. Like, just I'll show you guys the Foom in here. It's freaking.
It's cool too because, like, you know, in the movies, Mjolnir is destroyed, and then they only have Stormbreaker. But now in the comics, it's kind of the reverse. Yeah, that's so sick.
Right.
It's hard to see, but he's got, like, the little swirl on his head, like in the Absolute Carnage series.
You can see it on the cover that I put up. But
awesome,
but so good.
It's funny with Daniel Warren Johnson because, like, that's the first issue, and I'm already like, oh man, what's he gonna do next? Like, what's his next? Like, because I already know this is gonna be great. Like, when he works on something, he does a really good job of putting, like, everything into it. So I'm already excited to see what he's going to do next. Hopefully he'll stay with Marvel and do some more cool things. So
it's awesome. If anybody else picked up something cool this week and you want to put it in the chat so we can check it out that we didn't get a chance to talk about, do it. Cause there's a lot of cool stuff every week that comes out. We only have so much time. All right. So now we're going to talk a little bit about pop culture. And I prepped Marvin, though, because we were on the phone the other day and I was like, listen, here's what we're going to talk about, just so you know, because it's kind of a crazy week for pop culture, for TV movie stuff for comic book people. Like, so you had an amazing Winter Soldier episode last week. Then you had the Invincible show on Amazon drop. Then last night you had Godzilla versus Kong. So we're going to talk about them in that order. For like about 5 minutes each. Yep. And we're gonna try to keep this show to an hour, I swear to God. So Falcon Winter Soldier, my initial thoughts were, yes, we're right where I want it to be. The stride has hit. And I love how they wrote US Agent. Absolutely love him.
Yeah.
Love him. I was a little worried, but holy crap. He worked out perfectly.
He didn't. It did not take long for him to turn into dick mode.
Yep. I loved it. I was like, yes, yes.
And I saw, like, the scruffy beard. I'm like, oh, he's about. This is getting real quick. I'm thinking, oh, they're probably gonna take 2 or 3 episodes because WandaVision was such a slow build. But this is, like, really just going right at it. And when he had that scruff, I'm like, oh, he's about to be a jerk. And he was.
Yep.
Yeah, I was really surprised when I saw Battlestar. I had forgot that they had cast him in that show.
Yep.
Yeah.
And he shows up like, holy crap, it's Battlestar. Yes.
Yes, I know, right? I
love Battlestar.
Like, think about how many of those first appearances are floating around dollar bins right now.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. I did get the first appearance of John Walker, like 3 months ago off of eBay. I got it like in a set of Captain America books for like $20.
Nice. Wow. That ain't bad at all.
Yeah.
So I think I pulled mine out of a dollar bin like a couple years back just because I was like processing a collection. It was like, oh, sweet. You know, because he was always a character I loved because he was so bad.
Yeah.
But I also loved him when he got the black outfit and he was on the West Coast Avengers, and it was great.
Yeah. Like my favorite scene there was when he's talking to Hawkeye, and Hawkeye is pretty much like, "You don't belong here."
Yeah.
And he tries to punch him, and he grabs his hand, and then he bends his wrist back, and he goes, "Let me go, let me go."
Yeah.
Like, you forget that this guy is that strong.
Yeah.
When you're looking at him, and you're like, "No, you don't mess with John Walker, and he's nuts."
Yep.
But he's total opposite so far in this.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he gets whatever, you know, the Flag Smashers have that's making them stronger at some point. But right now, like, you saw him get his ass kicked on top of the,
yes, you did, on top of the semis.
Yeah. And, I mean, he was embarrassed. I think the thing that I enjoyed was, because I'm a big Young Avengers fan.
Yep. I was just going to say,
they are low key just laying the groundwork for Young Avengers, and they are taking their times with it. And they introduce Isaiah Bradley, and there's, who's this kid answering the door right now? And I mean, even though we didn't get it, I don't think we got a name. We know it's Elijah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I can't wait for, because if you remember in the comics, his story was, he told everybody he had superpowers, but he didn't. He was using mutant growth hormone. So, you know, again, could be tying into something with the Flag Smashers. And then obviously I think he gets a blood transfusion, but, from his grandfather. But yeah, that for me was like, I was like, oh my God, Iron Patriot, this is amazing. So, yeah,
I will tell you that morning I think I went to Cranberry, and I opened the door, set my stuff down, turned the lights on. Other John walks in. We talk maybe 5 minutes. We flip the sign, and immediately the phone rings, and somebody's like, "Do you have Captain America Red, White, and Black?" And yeah, I was like, "Hardcover or soft cover, sir?"
Yeah.
So
I mean, that story was so good for that, and I was really surprised they went there with that story.
Yeah,
it was surprising that they did that.
I really like the fact that they tied that book to the new or the Young Avengers.
Yeah.
And then that we're even seeing that in a show right now is really cool to me.
Yeah.
Because also a lot of people don't know that story exists.
Right.
And I love, like, when people are like, that character didn't appear in blah, blah. And I'm like, here's the graphic novel, man. You should totally read this, because it's really good. So, but yeah, I'm really, really excited about it. I can't wait for tomorrow's episode.
Or tonight, right, if you stay up late.
No.
Which is happening, which is so grating to me. Like, I'll get up in the morning, go on Twitter or Facebook, spoilers all over the place.
Nope. Like, come on, watch it first, then get on social media.
At least wait like 12 hours before you start talking about it. Come on, give somebody a break. It's just because you want to stay up till 3 o'clock in the morning to watch things. Doesn't mean everyone.
Yeah. I normally wait till at least 24 hours.
Yeah.
Or I'll preface with, did you see it? And then, you know, I'll talk to somebody about it. So I actually have a group chat of a bunch of friends of mine, and every Friday, like, it's all right, has everybody seen it? And then we just like just puke it all into this giant chat. It's a lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Great.
So, all right, let's talk about Invincible. So, Tim, you've only watched the first episode, right?
I've only watched the first episode, and I have the whole hardback of the first volume. I've never read the book ever. Okay. So for people that have read it, they probably knew exactly where it was going. Mm-hmm. But I've never, this is my first introduction into Invincible.
Yeah. I mean, even having read the books, it's still surprising, and it's a lot more brutal.
Yeah.
Than you thought it was going to be. You're like, oh, there's no way they're going to, oh, well, you did that. You're not going to do what?
It's bloody, because that's Ryan Ottley's known for that.
Yeah.
You know, but holy hell.
Yeah.
So I read the book for the first maybe 12 or 15 issues when it came out. I somewhere probably have the graphic novels. I always liked how just brutal it was. You're right, it was like a superhero book that actually was like, well, here's what it would be a little more real like. And that's what I liked about it, because, you know, there were things that died, people that died. There was all kinds of crazy shit going on. They had to, it was more of a, how is like a teenage Superman deal with being in high school and dealing with this? Like, it kind of felt like a good mix of like Peter Parker and Superman.
I thought that when I watched that first scene where he's in school and it basically like the Flash Thompson like character is going after this girl, but like in a more modern way. He's like catcalling her. And he's like, dude, knock it off. And then he gets his ass beat. and she has to save him. But then later kind of gets a little bit of redemption for it.
I agree. You got to get through the other two episodes, because it really pans out into something very, very.
I wasn't sure brilliant. How many you were gonna watch or talk about. I didn't know. Did they release the first like couple last week?
They launched with three episodes.
Okay. So I wasn't sure if it was just a week to week thing, like that they did just like one episode. So I just was like, I'm just gonna do one just in case. So.
Yeah, I think they're doing the rest of them. I think are single episode drops, like they did with The Boys. Like The Boys was two episodes and then one each week.
Yeah,
this one's three. I love J.K. Simmons as Omni-Man. Like, I'm just like, you are so perfect for this role.
They were like, hey, who are we gonna get to play this guy with an amazing mustache? I don't know, J.K. Simmons. Like, right? Was there any other person that could play that?
Oh, and the Kurgan voices, the bad guy twins.
Yeah.
like the clone guys.
I think John Hamm's in it too, isn't he?
Yeah. There's like a whole bunch of Walking Dead alumni in it.
Like almost all.
Yeah.
Anybody that was like relevant in Walking Dead, they're like, sorry, that show kind of went the way it did. Hey, you want to be in the cartoon?
Well, it's also Kirkman, so Kirkman probably was like, I'm going to give you more time. I love that every episode has a mid-credit scene, and I like that. I like the art a lot. Like, it's not just Ryan Otley's art come to life, but it really works like an anime.
Mm-hmm.
But more cleaned up than a lot of animes that I've seen, and that's I think that's just that image money behind it, but...
Image dollars.
Right? That's Skybound money, bro.
Yeah.
I just want to say, I like, as I'm trying to like attach myself to like which heroes that I like, I'm like, ooh, Red Rush, he's kind of cool. Don't get attached, people. Don't get attached.
Whoops.
Don't get attached.
But the show also gives you that Superman Batman thing and how Superman could just crush Batman in minutes. Or not in minutes, in seconds. Mm-hmm. In that fight where it's like, oh, it's over.
Yeah.
Like, and within seconds, the fight is over. And it just makes it so silly that the DC wants to continuously say, well, Batman can beat Superman. No.
Yeah.
No.
No.
He could kill him from like across the country.
Unless he learns magic, he has no chance.
Right. So. But definitely check out Invincible. I know a lot of the stores already sold out of the graphic novel.
We've had the first graphic novel at least. Yeah, we've had so many calls for them.
I know a lot of the stores got the color reprint of number one. It's not the Image first one, it's the new version of it. So make sure you check that out. Heroenberg says episode 4 of Invincible drops tomorrow. There's a lot of big superhero movie names in the show as voice actors, and that must have made it expensive. Again, all that Walking Dead money, bro. He's like, oh, I can't wait to do this next project. It's going to be a cartoon, which is going to be more money anyway. So
he doesn't care. He just likes making stuff for fans. He likes it.
He does.
That's the one thing I like about Robert Kirkman. Even when I fall off the wagon on certain things, he just loves to make stuff for people to enjoy. So.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have ever been to like the Skybound booth at the shows, but his brother Sean is usually there, and he looks just like him except he's a little taller, and he's a little more biker looking. But they're both super super nice guys, so definitely check them out. Check out the Skybound booth whenever you get to a show. You can buy Invincible there. You can buy Walking Dead. You can buy all kinds of stuff. But check those out; they're really cool. All right, let's talk about Godzilla versus Kong real quick.
I'm going to try not to go into spoiler mode since it just came out a couple days
ago. This is my non-spoiler review.
Okay.
Because I'm not one of the, like, if you are a person who likes big dumb creatures battling it out, this is a great movie for you. Like, you're going to give it a 10 out of 10 of that kind of a movie. I'm not that kind of movie liker. I like something a little more plot. There were definitely parts where I actually almost fell asleep because it was very slow in certain parts. So on that end, I gave it a 5 out of 10. But as a movie overall, as an enjoyment, because the special effects were just so good.
Yeah.
And there was some really cool shit in here if you're into Godzilla lore.
Yeah.
That I gave it, my end result was a 10 or a 8 out of 10.
That was mine, an 8 out of 10. I agree. I like stories with more plot and stuff, but when I'm talking about Godzilla or something along those lines, I kind of bend my rules a little bit because I just like to see badass monsters beating the shit out of each other. And I got that for most of the movie. I said, if I could get like 30 minutes top human story and the rest monsters, I think I'll be happy. And it felt pretty close to maybe that timeline. There wasn't a lot of stuff going on with the humans. I thought the stuff with the lady and the little girl with the sign language, I thought that was more of the more interesting part of the human interaction. The whole stuff with L or 11 from Stranger Things, first of all, I know she's young, but she's a terrible actress. her whole story with the flaming fist from Deadpool, what's the kid's name? With Fire Fist, and then the other guy who was supposed to be like the dude from Transformers, the hacker dude, remember in the first movie, Anthony. He was like almost playing that role in this movie,
like the super conspiracy theory guy.
That whole story I could do without. The monsters they did a really good job of spotlighting it, and it was just like a lot of action that was really good. So,
and I think that if you go through these movies, and the best thing about this one was they didn't cut away from the action like they did in Godzilla and then King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
Hate when they do that. I hate it. It's like they're getting ready to get into a fight, cut away. Why? Let me see what's going to happen. It's so awful. I don't care about people running away into the shelter. I want to know what's going on with Godzilla kicking this monster's ass.
I think the criticism in the first two Godzilla movies too was that you couldn't hardly see any of the fights. In the first one, it was that night scene. Mm-hmm. In the second one, there was like some kind of like weird mist all the time. And, you know, you never saw really anything very clear. This one's like, boom, broad daylight. We're going to get some really good fights. And I thought it looked gorgeous. So like pop it on your 4K TV, turn the lights off and go to town. Cause it was just fantastic in that regard.
So. I mean, a lot of those dark scenes in movies is had the flaws in the CGI too.
Yeah.
And now that they've perfected, even like the fur on Kong looked really
good. Yeah.
You could see the individual hairs on
that
on
snow Scott scene, like when he was in the snow.
Yeah.
It was perfect. It was perfect. So yeah,
I my problem was the lady and the girl that you talked about earlier, I was already like, oh, what's their story? And then they like, don't do it at all. And I was like, well, never mind. And I'm like, but like, you know, I sacrificed what kind of story that kind of led to. I got enough of it to kind of go, okay, I know why you're here.
Yeah.
And I do feel that the previous Godzilla people they were just like, we need to somehow work you into this story. But man, the CGI was gorgeous. The fight scenes were gorgeous. That city got totally wrecked.
Yeah.
Like talk about mass casualties. Like, yep. I mean, Like, there is a scene where Godzilla just blows his fire all the way to the middle of the Earth.
Yeah.
I mean, it was so good. Like, I don't even care how unrealistic that is. Yeah. I just care how cool it looked.
Yeah.
Because I just, you know, because to me, Godzilla movies were always more like a little more campy, a little more tongue-in-cheeky.
Yeah.
And Kong was like never really done well until Skull Island.
Yeah.
But I loved watching old Kong. Like, I grew up on like black and white Kong movies. It was awesome. My uncle had like a lot of old horror stuff and or sci-fi horror monster movie stuff. So I would always watch that when I'd go over to his house. And like, I loved, there's a scene where I'm like, that could, but probably isn't Baby Godzilla. And I was just like, I really wanted that to be the Baby Godzilla and do the little ring. Like, didn't happen, but it was cool. But I really liked, I like that kind of a setting. I like those big dumb fights. And I thought this really, like, that's what I loved about the Power Rangers movie, was like the big dumb fights, the big crap. And that's why I watched Transformers movies, to watch the big robots fight big robots.
Like,
you know, and that's why I grew up with Voltron and all this other crap. So to me, like, the plot was kind of just like, okay, it's obviously called Godzilla versus Kong. That's what I'm going to get. If it at least get me a half decent plot to that point, and the rest of it's just action scenes, I'm cool. Yep. The boat fight scene was interesting. I thought that was a very inventive fight scene. But that final fight, man, that was cool. Yeah. Oh, and all the extra like the Easter eggs of like of different monsters when they talk about them. Yep. Oh man, was it cool?
So, yeah.
Those were the little spices, for me to make it spicy. The spice melange. It makes it spicy, and I like the spice. all right, I think that's about it. Next week, we have Doug Wagner, who wrote this book, Plastic. I don't know if you guys have ever read this book, but Robert Kirkman's quote on the front literally says, "This is the weirdest shit I've ever read. I love it." So I wanted to reread it because I haven't read it in a long time. I'll let you guys look up what it's about, because it's kind of funny and a little fucked up.
I need to borrow it then.
Well, you don't have one in your store because I looked there first.
I know. I'm saying I need to borrow yours.
Okay, I'll try to plow through it, and I'll drop it next week.
Okay.
So. All right. Marvin, thank you again so much for coming on, hanging out with us tonight. And you are more than welcome back anytime. If I don't see you before May, I'll see you at Three Rivers. Make sure everybody comes out to Three Rivers Comic-Con May 22nd, 23rd. Bring your copies of The Edge for Marvin to check out and sign and send off to CGC, even though we're not going to have a CGC person there. Or just ask him how much and what grade he got his copies back.
That's right. So this is the one right here. It's going, signing it right here. You want to get it.
Right, so, there.
Nuremberg, you're the witness. Autograph it. We're going to get this done.
Nice.
Come see us at the stores to get signed up for it, too.
Yep.
And you could maybe go away with something cool. Like, Ron got this, and Marvin said he's got some stuff for us. So, yeah.
I've got four distinct things that are going to you can get.
Okay.
That's awesome.
And there might be some extras. So, like, don't get discouraged if you don't get in the first run, because I got a lot of stuff to give.
Cool.
Well, thank you again, sir, for coming on. Thank you, everybody who watched on YouTube tonight, our first YouTube stream. That was cool. We had about 7 to 12 people floating around, so that's awesome.
And pretty engaging, too. A lot of comments and discussion. Yeah. So it was really fun.
Yeah. So thanks, everybody. See you next week, and we will see you at the stores. Thanks.
Peace.